Hey everyone, I'm Coy Wire, here to help you jumpstart your week with the best 10 minutes in news right here on CNN 10. Let's start today with an update on the midterm elections. Last week, millions of adults across the country went to the polls to cast their votes for representatives in Congress, senators, and state and local officials. Democrats performed better than predicted. They are projected to retain majority control of the U.S. Senate after winning a pivotal race in Nevada. Now, Democrats will hold 50 Senate seats, with Republicans currently holding 49. A December runoff election in the state of Georgia could earn Republicans a matching 50th Senate seat, but Democrats would still hold a tie-breaking vote in the Senate, which belongs to Vice President Kamala Harris. But the race isn't over yet. Republicans may win the House of Representatives as votes continue to be tallied from a handful of districts. If Republicans win the House, they could still stop a significant portion of President Biden's Democratic agenda in his political proposals. Congress makes nationwide laws. The House decides which laws are voted on, while the Senate can approve or block them and confirm appointments made by the president. Let's hear now from CNN's Jessica Schneider, a justice correspondent based in Washington. She has an update on President Biden's proposal to forgive some student loan debt, which would need clear congressional authorization to go through.
A federal judge out of Texas who was actually nominated by President Trump is now saying President Biden just does not have the power to forgive these student loans by executive order. And instead, President Biden would need clear congressional authorization to forgive these loans. And he would have had to go through more of a process rather than just simply issuing an executive order. However, we will see an appeal of this decision. The Justice Department has already noticed that it will appeal. And this is ultimately a decision that could be determined by the Supreme Court. Of course, President Biden issued this executive order in August. It's estimated that if it goes through, it would ultimately cost about $400 billion. The program, though, now in doubt, and it's also been on hold for the past month because of another court decision out of a circuit court that put the loan forgiveness rollout on hold while all these legal challenges play out. You know, we know that about 26 million borrowers already have applied for this debt relief. The government had already approved 16 million of those applications. But no debt at all will be canceled for the foreseeable future here because of these court challenges. The White House press secretary did, however, say that the Department of Education will hold on to the information of all of these applicants so it could be processed pretty quickly if the program is ultimately given the green light in court. But we'll have to see how the courts decide this. If it does go all the way to the Supreme Court, it's possible that the conservative majority on the Supreme Court could nix this program as well. You know, this has been a majority that's often skeptical of wide-ranging executive and agency action. So this debt forgiveness program could ultimately be deemed unconstitutional. And if that happens, none of these millions of people would get any debt relief. But for now, this program is also on hold.
Next up, a film crew searching the Atlantic Ocean for World War II artifacts unexpectedly swam upon something much more modern, a 20-foot-long piece of the space shuttle Challenger, which exploded shortly after liftoff in 1986. CNN's space and defense correspondent Kristen Fisher has more.
It was the space shuttle's very distinctive heat shield tiles that really gave these divers their first clue that perhaps they had found a piece of NASA's old space shuttle Challenger. And you can see in the video these white square tiles that are, you know, partially covered by sand now on the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. And those white tiles would have been used to protect the underbelly of the space shuttle from the very high temperatures that it would encounter as it re-entered the Earth's atmosphere. So the lead team member on this expedition, a guy by the name of Mike Barnett, he had a friend who was a former NASA astronaut. He showed him this video, and that made them convinced that this is indeed what they had found. They brought it to NASA, and NASA confirmed it, announcing the findings just this week. And so the big question now is, what does NASA do with this? By law, any piece of a space shuttle is NASA property. So NASA is trying to find a way to do something with this 20-foot section, to do something that would really honor the memory of these seven astronauts that were killed back in January of 1986, including Krista McAuliffe, who, of course, would have been the very first teacher in space. Kristen Fisher, CNN, Washington.
10-second trivia. Which U.S. government agency measures job market activity and working conditions? Department of Commerce, Department of State, Bureau of Economic Analysis, Bureau of Labor Statistics. The Bureau of Labor Statistics serves as the statistical resource for the U.S. Department of Labor. For the past year, the job market has been strong. In October, the economy created 261,000 new jobs. But things may not quite be what they seem. Job hires dropped to a low not seen in more than a year and a half. We'll hear now from CNN business and politics correspondent Vanessa Yurkevich, who's finding out why getting a job might not be as easy as some might think, and how some people are getting creative to get noticed.
I'm open to all options.
Carly Pavlinak is on stage in a high-stakes competition. The potential prize, a new job.
How do you make sure you're working with the right talent, you're finding the right connections?
The biggest thing is just being able to communicate the idea.
This is not the first time Pavlinak has done something unconventional to land an interview, since losing her marketing job in September. After she didn't hear back for a position at Nike, she sent them a cake with her resume on it.
I've been applying. Obviously, that hasn't worked yet, so let me throw something new in the mix and see if that, works.
Her resume cake making headlines.
I've since talked to a bunch of people at Nike, but still no job.
But the economic data tells a different story. The jobs market is strong. There are 10.7 million open positions, labor shortages, and hundreds of thousands of jobs being added each month. Yet some job seekers, even with a viral cake moment, can't seem to land one.
On the surface, a still fairly strong labor market, but if you go a couple of layers under, you are starting to see more significant cracks in the surface that suggest we should eventually see it in those more popular headline type labor market readings.
Cracks like a slowdown in hiring, as seen in this week's job opening survey. Hires dropping to 6.1 million, the lowest since February 2021. And the tech industry is shedding jobs, 86% more than last year.
My perception of the job market was there were a ton of jobs out there, and it was going to be easy to find a job. And that actually hasn't been the case.
Another crack, of the 10.7 million open jobs, some companies might be advertising positions they aren't actively trying to fill.
I have applied to many jobs that they're still sitting there. That's been a giant question in my head.
It's called pipelining talent. Companies post jobs to develop a pool of candidates. Recruiter Laura Mazzullo says she sees companies do it all the time.
Candidates don't know that's what's happening. So they're being pipelined when actually they think they're applying for an active job. And this is where we're seeing a bit of a disconnect.
That may mean as the labor market weakens, job seekers can't be as picky.
Our goal is potentially to give away two jobs tonight.
I have been picky in that sense of where I want to work, but I know what I want. I'm still searching, still talking to people. I've come to terms that it is taking longer than I thought.
Vanessa Yurkevich, CNN, New York.
Today's 10 out of 10 is from Minnesota man James Rasmussen as we head into the holiday season. He's hoping to avoid the terrible experience he had last season. He couldn't figure out who was cutting his outdoor Christmas lights. Turns out it was the owl who stole Christmas, using the lights to deck its own halls, its nest under Rasmussen's deck. Critters, there's no telling what they'll do. Better luck next time, Mr. Rasmussen. Without further ado, a special shout out now to Ryan Middle in Fairbanks, Alaska, wishing you and everyone watching around the world some motivation this Monday. Remember, someday you'll look back and refer to these as the good old days, so be grateful for the good. I'm Coy. This is CNN